Because they'll often say things to us without a filter, won't they? So during the last song there, Daxton walks over to me and he says, ourselves. Are we done yet? Are we there yet? It's so good. So thank you for that reminder, young man. For the next number of weeks, we're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs, specifically at chapter 3 together. I was trying to figure out which Proverbs should we pick? Which one should we go through? The Proverbs seem so disjointed in their writing because Solomon will say one thing and then the next phrase is something completely different, completely opposite. And so I just decided, let's just stick into one book or one chapter. And we'll just work through the entire chapter together over the next number of weeks. And then it makes it easier on us. So as we go through Proverbs chapter 3, my encouragement to you would be not to drop your children, but to read Proverbs 3 on a kind of a daily basis as we work together through it. And say, what is God trying to speak to me through this? What is going on here? Those kinds of things. And so as we jump in this morning, I want us to look at our world around us a little bit. When we're asked to commit to something, what are some questions that we usually have when we're asked to commit to something? Give me the whole plan. We want full clarity of what is happening before we're usually willing to step into something, aren't we? We wouldn't walk up to a cliff and somebody tell us to jump unless we looked down and saw that we were going to be safe, right? Maybe we would ask a question, explain why this is happening. Why are we doing this? Why are we stopping this? Why are you asking me to be a part of this? Maybe we ask God, show me where you're leading. Give me the end picture. I don't necessarily need all the details, the whole plan, but I need to know where we're headed in life. And oftentimes as we read scripture, God's simple response is this: trust me. Trust me. And we look at our lives and I think trust is a pretty hard thing for us to understand, or it's difficult for us because we naturally prefer control. We naturally prefer control. Think about your kids. Think about you. Try not to think about your spouse. But every situation we look at, everything we post on social media, typically revolves around us controlling the narratives of our lives. Would that be a safe assumption for us this morning? I'm only going to tell you as much about me as I want you to know so you have a proper image of who I am. I'm not going to tell you the things that I say or do at home that lead in a different direction of the image that I want to portray to you in front of you. Now speak to anybody's kids and they'll give you the accurate depiction of what their parents are like, or their siblings, for that matter. My dad says, oh boy, that's a terrifying phrase when you're in a grouping of people and you hear your child saying those words. We prefer control. And we live in a culture that celebrates independence. Phrases like follow your heart. Great phrase, right? It sounds good, it feels good. Follow your heart. Believe in yourself. Trust your instincts. You do you. Find your truth. We live in a culture and in a society that celebrates independence, and Proverbs gives us a very different message than that. Very different. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in something outside of yourself. And I would say for us this morning, as I look around the room, the issue that we have isn't that we're not smart enough to get it, that we can't read, that we can't retain the information that is presented to us in Scripture. The issue is authority. Who gets the final say over your life? Who gets the final say over your life? And I want you to think about your life right now and the things that you're doing and what's going on around you. Who gets the final say in your life? And I would suggest probably for every single one of us, more than half of our life is dictated by us and us alone. I would venture to guess that. And so let's get into Proverbs chapter 3. It might work. It worked today. Number one, we need to remember God's word. I remember when I was growing up and when we were younger and there was a time where we seemed to like put acronyms to everything. Right? We'd have a word, we'd put an acronym to it to make us remember what it meant. And the Bible had an acronym, didn't it? Brief instructions before leaving earth. I remember hearing that when I first entered the church, and I thought it was so silly. But Solomon's reminding us that we need to remember God's words because it is instructions for us. It does give us a life as we pursue Jesus. It tells us what that looks like for us and what we need to be doing. And so Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1 says these words, "My son," Mason, you might have to keep up with me here, "my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Notice the progression here. Forgetting begins in the mind. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. The obedience that we have begins right here. It goes beyond just the remembrance of Scripture and goes into the very character and being of who we are as people. Keep my commands in your heart. And Solomon and the other kings and the other people in Israel would have very clear examples as to when these kinds of things happened. If we go and read a little bit further in the Minor Prophets, and we did a series a few years ago in the Minor Prophets, God delivered Israel. He gave them commands to go and do something, go and build my temple. And they would go and do that for a while, and they would forget the command, they would forget the deliverance that God had given them and that they experienced through his power. And they'd go back to building their own homes, doing the things for them, taking back the control. And then God would come in and remind them again, "Hey, do you remember that time I delivered you? Remember that time that I asked you to build my temple and take care of my house first? Oh, right, we'll get back to that." And that's a depiction and an illustration of what our lives look like. God delivers us from something that we're going through, the burdens that we're carrying. God lifts them from us. And we go through life remembering that for a while and the commands that God gives us. And then somewhere down the line, we forget. Somewhere down the line, we miss. Somewhere down the line, we look back internally to ourselves and say, "What do I need to do to take care of myself?" And then God comes in and reminds us again. God comes in with another situation that reminds us of where he has taken us from to now and calls us to follow him once again. Israel constantly struggled with forgetfulness. After miracles, they forgot. After deliverance, they forgot. After God's provision, they forgot. And I'd say our problem is not ignorance. We know Scripture. We know what it says. We know the general story of the entirety of Scripture and what God has done. So we forget about it. In our day-to-day worlds, we forget about the times that God has intervened into our lives because we get busy with things. We have emergencies that pop up that need to be taken care of in this moment. And we forget where God has brought us from. Think about your GPS for a moment. The directions only help us if we actually follow them, right? We may get to where we're headed after a while or after some bad turns. But I love the phrase that we sometimes use, especially as men, I know a shortcut. I know a shortcut. And then what does our GPS say to us? Recalculating. Do a U-turn. Recalculating. And that's what God's word continually reminds us in our lives when we read it, is this sense of recalculating. Do a U-turn. I remember an episode of Home Improvement, a fantastic show from feels like long ago, where Tim and Joe were driving in a snowstorm. They were at a gas station, and Joe was saying, Tim, ask for directions. And he said, I know the way, as all men would do. And they get driving, they drive around for an hour or so or more, and they get back to a gas station, and they walk in, and they're shaking off all the snow off of them, and they look up, and it's the same gas attendant. Control. We know the way. We know where to go. We know what to do. Rely on God's word. Don't forget, remember, keep the commands in your heart. And the very practicalness of Solomon in this writing, for it will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. What voice shapes your thinking every day? For many of us in this room, or for many in our society, this is the very thing that shapes our thoughts day by day. I don't know about you, but when you start looking at different things, when you start researching different things, guess what begins to pop up? Those same things all the time. I typed in boat the other day. And all I get now are things for boats. I opened up an ad for a motorcycle. I'm almost 40, so I'm about to go through midlife crisis. Right, so I was looking, I opened up a thing that for motorcycle. You know what I get now? Only things about motorcycles. This has become our source of what we think in life. You watch a video, guess what kind of videos only pop up for you? The same ones that perpetuate that message so that you believe it. What don't we use as our base for thinking, as our mode for information? We don't often use this. For some of us, it sits nicely on a table as a centerpiece, as a piece of furniture, decoration. And that's what it's become for many homes in our world. But it's more than that. It's the living word. So what needs to shape our thinking? Scripture. Remember God's word. Solomon goes on in verse 3. We need to look at love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. These words describe God's character in a lot of ways. God is steadfast. God is faithful. He loves his people. He is faithful for his people. And God calls his people to reflect his own character. Notice the imagery here. Tie them around your neck. Bind them around your neck. Let people see that this is who you are. Let the world around you, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your family, know about who you are as you follow God. And write them on your heart so that they become an integral part of who you are. so that you deeply know the character of who God is. We need to wear love and faithfulness because our inner life eventually becomes our outer life. Solomon writes that in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects his heart. What is going on internally will then become an external picture of that for the world. And so what are we portraying to the world around us? Our culture prioritizes image. What we show people. There was a popular fad a few years ago, and it still goes on a little bit today, where people on social media especially or on the internet would take a picture of themselves and everything looks great and everything is wonderful. Everybody's smiling in the picture. The house looks absolutely clean. And then they would take a second picture and they would show what the house actually looks like, and it's a disaster. It looks like a bomb went off. And in some ways, culture was trying to get away from this idea of everything needs to look good. But then we went the total opposite way, to show everybody that everything is terrible. God's not about image. God is about our character, who we are, the reflection of who he is to our world. Wisdom, and Proverbs is called wisdom literature. Wisdom cares more about character than reputation. Worries more about character than reputation. How many of you have had something bad said about you in your life? Every hand would go up in this room. One hand did go up. There we go. We've all had something bad said about us. Our reputation has been tarnished by something. And yet that doesn't matter. Because it's the character, it's the integrity that we live with that actually matter as we begin to model what it looks like to follow after God to our world around us. Think about it this way. We were just in Vernon. Jen and I had the opportunity to go to a cherry tree picking place. So we went and picked our own cherries. They were delicious, right off the trees. And fruit trees never have to strain to convince people that they're fruit trees, do they? The fruit continues to come. Our character works kind of the same way. What is inside, what is at work, will become visible to everybody else around. And if you don't believe that, I want you to look at people around you. I want you to look at your own life. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? The Apostle Paul writes this in the New Testament. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You see the same type of imagery that Solomon uses, Paul uses. Wear it. Let people see it. Our Christian maturity isn't measured by our knowledge of Scripture, our knowledge of God. It's measured by our Christ-like character. And that's what is important. Solomon goes on in verse 5. We're going to look at this. We'll stay here the longest, but we need to look at this idea of trusting God completely. Trusting God completely. We started this morning with this idea of we are the source of authority. Where do you look for? Find your truth. You be you. Those kinds of statements that we use. And what Solomon is pointing us to is this idea of turning that around and saying our trust needs to be in God and God alone. This isn't an issue that is of today's culture. Otherwise, Solomon wouldn't have needed to write this. Selfishness has been around since the very beginning. Control has been around since the very beginning. Trust God completely. These verses here, verse 5 and 6, are probably the most recognizable verses in Proverbs for us this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. We hear that verse. We've memorized that verse. And at some point, when we spend so much time with some of these verses, they begin to be what I call wallpaper. We don't notice them anymore. Just like when we walk into our homes, we don't notice maybe sometimes the holes in the walls. We don't notice the scuffs. We don't notice the things that need to be fixed, because for us they've just become simply wallpaper. Verses in Scripture become wallpaper in some ways for us, and I want us to bring this verse out this morning so it becomes living again. Trust. We operate in trust every day, right? Many of us this morning are operating in trust right now. You're trusting that I won't go too long. I have lunch plans. We trust things like this every day. We trust that when we sit down, it's not going to break. Somebody was trusting for me. Thank you, Harold. Trust. It's so easy for us to trust others or other mechanisms, things that we have built, things that we have done. And yet when we say we need to learn to trust God with our lives, for some reason, we have a hard time giving up that control. I wonder what our lives would look like if every time we went to go sit down, we brought our own stools, our own chairs places. Imagine walking into church every Sunday and people are carrying handmade chairs that they built because they only trust themselves. Do you see that? I'm going to bring in my own tech or instruments and guitars. Obviously, they come in on their own, but you know, own microphones, own speakers. I'm going to bring all my own stuff because I don't trust. This is a day and an age and where often pastors get fact-checked. People on their phones, and they're like, I don't know if I trust that one, so I'm going to type it in and see if it's true. AI will tell me if it's true or not. Happens more often than you think. Trust. I don't trust the car next to me. A Jen will often say this to me, I trust you when you're driving, I just don't trust the other people around you. I said, don't worry, I'll beat them in the race anyway. They won't be beside us. Trust. Do you trust? Are you capable of trusting? And obviously we know the answer is that we are capable of trusting, but when it comes to my life, the direction I want to go is more important than the direction God wants to take me. So where does God want to take you? Where do you need to step out with trust for him? Where do you need to sit down on God's stool versus your own stool? Trust. With all your heart. In Hebrew thought, the heart is the center of your entire being. We read all throughout Scripture this idea of the heart. It's central to your entire being, as they use the imagery. It's not simply the emotions we carry. It's not our thinking. It's not our will. It's not our desires only. It's everything encapsulated into one. Trust God with all of it. Not 80%, not just Sundays. Everything. Remember when I got to Devon Alliance Church, I came in there and I said to them, listen, I consider myself a Monday to Saturday pastor. And they looked at me strange, because Sundays are the most important day on the Christian calendar, isn't it? In the week. It's the most important day. I said, people are losing their jobs on Wednesday, and where are we? We're so focused on the one day. We need to learn to trust God with everything going on in our worlds, every day, every moment. not just one day, not just a portion of our life, everything, everything. And then we need to lean not on our own understanding. This doesn't mean that we stop thinking. God gave us minds. God gave us creativity. Rather, don't make your own understanding your ultimate authority. Don't make your own understanding your ultimate authority, because our perspective is limited. Have you seen that before? Have you gotten so blinded by everything else that you made a decision that you didn't seek other opinions? Maybe you didn't seek God's opinion. And the decision you made, you thought was really good. It was really founded. You believed you had all the information in front of you. And then afterwards, you look back and you're like, oh man, that was dumb. I can't believe I made that decision on my own, because I leaned on my own understanding. I made my understanding my ultimate authority. The last couple weeks, we had a mural up here from our VBS week. It was a beautiful rainforest, right? Imagine going and just walking up to that mural and just standing about this far away. What can you see? Not a whole lot. You can see what's directly in front of you, but you don't see the entire picture because your perspective is limited. You see just random colors there. God sees the whole picture. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Mason, you can keep going. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It's interesting to me as we read this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We've already talked about it a bit, that pride says, I've got this. Wisdom says, I need God. One of the greatest dangers that we experience in Christian maturity is becoming spiritually self-confident. We become spiritually self-confident. Right? We have these nice Bibles. We've got all these nice notes in them. We don't need other people. We have access to libraries of hundreds and hundreds of books. We don't need somebody else telling us what Scripture is, what it means, because I already know. I know everything there is to know. We bring that attitude, that perspective, like we have it all together. And then what happens? Something comes and destroys all of that perspective at some point. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord isn't terror. It's actually reverence. A deep awareness that God is God and I am not. How many of you have used this phrase maybe in your home? My house, my rules. Or some sort of variation of that. When you live under my roof, you will do as I say. Maybe some iteration of that. I put food on the table, you will eat it. Our fear of God, our fear of the Lord, it's about realizing who he is and who we are not. It's not the same fear we sometimes try to put into our children. But it's a healthy perspective of who he is. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Generally speaking, God's wisdom produces flourishing. We see that all throughout Israel's history, when they followed God's leading, when they followed God's commands, they flourished as a community. And when they began taking back control and doing the things they wanted to do, worshiping idols, seeking after their own interests, they began to wonder where God was, and it wasn't that God was gone. It's that they replaced God with something else. God's wisdom produces flourishing in our lives. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we seek? Isn't that what we desire, this idea of a flourishing life? We say it as a church here that we exist to introduce people to Jesus so they may experience fullness of life. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we desire? And yet we desire control more. We desire our own understanding more. We desire to be right more than that. Ultimately, Proverbs points us to Jesus. Where Adam trusted himself, Jesus trusted his Father. Where Israel wandered, Jesus obeyed perfectly. Where we lean on our own understanding, Jesus surrendered in Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus walked the path of perfect trust. Then he died for every time we have trusted ourselves instead of God. Because of his grace, we can begin learning to trust again. So I want you to look at some situations going on in your world right now. In your lives, where are you leaning on your own understanding? Where are you looking at the situations, and they can be big or small? Where are you looking at the situations in your life and saying, I am the ultimate authority. I have all the answers. I know what to do. Where is God asking you simply to trust him? Where do you need to trust him? What do you need to look to him for? What is going on in your world that you say, God, why? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. What does that mean? As we wrap up this morning, as we look at this idea of flourishing, if we follow God, and this phrase, he will make your paths straight. Scripture doesn't promise us an easy life. Quite the contrary. It means losing our lives, picking up our cross and following Jesus. This idea of he will make your path straight, straight doesn't mean smooth. If we use an illustration this morning, we can use the highways in Westlock. They're straight, but they're not smooth. But they do get us to where we want to go, don't they? I'm sure some of us would rather jump on the curb and drive down the curb at times. Earlier on in the spring, I was driving behind a Mustang, and it hit the big pothole right before Sobeys. I felt so bad in that moment. Anyways, straight doesn't mean smooth. It means directed. God removes needless wandering. Needless wandering. Because when we take control and we have our ideas, we have our perspectives of where we need to go, guess what we tend to do? We tend to wander. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not only on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray together. Lord, today we choose to trust you more than we trust ourselves. Help us recognize you in every decision and give us the courage to follow wherever you will lead us. Reveal to us where we need to trust you more. Reveal to us where we're seeking our own perspectives, where we're living in our own perspectives. Give us the courage to follow after you. Jesus, we're grateful that we can come into this place and worship you. We're grateful for everything you do, and we're grateful for where you have delivered us in our lives to this point today. Let us never forget it as we bind these things in our heart. May you be reflected in who we are to our world around us. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
I will build my life upon your love. It's a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Let's stand together and sing and just declare that we are called to trust God. We are called to go along his path, but we have to let him. We have to let him lead, and that can be the hardest.
Show me.
take a seat for a couple minutes as we have our announcements today. Thank you for joining us, helping lead. So nice. Deborah's whole family is musical. So thank you. Appreciate it. If you need prayer for anything, one of our board members, their wife will be available for you for prayer, whatever might be going on in your life that you want to take the burdens off and pray to God with. We would be happy to pray with you over any of those things. This Wednesday, sound training. Yes, I talked to Cam this week. It is happening at 6 p.m. If you're interested in helping out with our sound system, learning about it, any of those types of things, please come and join us at 6 o'clock Wednesday, August 5th. We'd love to have you with us as we still figure out this new system. But it does sound way better. Yeah, absolutely. That's it? All right. Last week, I was announcing the Young at Heart thing and got the times all mixed up, and I did something I shouldn't have. I called my wife out. She's not here this morning either. Remember, I said I'd tell her to be there at 8, so she's there at 11. Yeah, that wasn't good. So publicly, I just want to say that, and I've had a conversation with Jen, and we're good. But I shouldn't say dumb things like that. But when we go off script, you know we typically say dumb things, right? We all do it. So just, if any of you are like, he shouldn't have said that, how dare he? Here's that public apology and public affirmation that you're right, I shouldn't have. So just, that's over now. As you go, Young at Heart had a great day. They did meet here before 11, right? At 10, they were.